This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Mountain High Health Foods for health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living. Stop by Mountain Eye Health Foods, Top of the Hill in Cody, and Wyoming Home and Ranch. They have a great selection of dog food, home decor, and the best lawn and garden section in town. Stop into Wyoming Home and Ranch on Bighorn Avenue in Cody for tools, products, and expert advice for all your projects. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling, we ask callers to please tell us your first and last name, and we limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace, we have retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Buck Wilkerson. Buck, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, by golly.
Thanks for coming in today. We're going to talk a variety of stuff, politics, military, veterans issues, so much going on in the world around us and in the U.S. itself. But I want to get things started historically speaking. Those that are listening to the morning show that I do every Monday through Friday that I host, I do these spotlights. Today I had a history spotlight because it was 55 years ago this month, Cuban Missile Crisis, October 1962. And you and I were talking a little bit before the show, Buck. And just since it is the 55 years ago this month, October of 62, since the Cuban Missile Crisis, what are some of your memories, recollection of the Cuban Missile Crisis, the closest the U.S. has ever gotten to a nuclear war?
Well, my memories go right to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and 7th Special Forces Group, and we were alerted, called into the alert tents, and received an area intelligence briefing. We're map oriented. We're given missions. Packed our gear, got our stuff ready. Some of the teams moved to MacDill in Florida. Some of us stayed in Bragg, and we were prepared to jump into Cuba. We had Cuban assets, two people with each A-team, Cuban native, ex-military types, very knowledgeable, very helpful, very, very motivated to get in there and do what we had to do. But we thought that we were going to be going into Cuba to destroy the missiles and whoever brought them in there. And we were prepared to do that. We literally flew almost every day. In the air, our aircraft were loaded, and we flew and actually made a couple of jumps, practice jumps, on Sicily Field there at Fort Bragg to rehearse what we were going to do in Cuba. And you talk about being concerned. I was very concerned.
I was going to say, that was a 13-day crisis. Now, what capacity in the military were you at that time?
I was an A-team leader.
Okay.
So, Special Forces A-team.
So, I mean, when you serve in the military, you kind of, I'm assuming you probably know kind of what to expect, but did you ever in your wildest dreams expect something like this, to getting this close? I mean, at one time the U.S. was at DEFCON 2 and 3, and I mean, did you ever think it would get to that point?
I thought it was there.
Okay. So you were ready to go, but you're nervous though, right?
Oh, scared spitless.
Oh, yeah. What were they saying? Was it almost imminent at that point? Was it you thought?
Basically, our attitude was that it was going to happen, and we were going to have the job to do. We could have done what we were planning to do. We were to go in, hit some targets that were identified. We had photos of them. We had map coordinates. We had jump zones identified. We had people on the ground marking drop zones, and they were there. We had people that were in on the ground waiting, and they had the E&E out. Some of them got out through Guantanamo. Some of them got out through other routes. But We were prepared to jump in, kill the initial targets, and set up for the introduction of conventional forces.
So the plan was to take out their those missiles.
It was
then
to take out the missiles and all of the support they had there for them.
So what do you if that step was to, would have been taken? What do you think the Soviet Union's reaction would have been to see you when you, they saw you guys coming in? What do you think they would have done?
Well, I'm sure they would have resisted, but they would have been in a hell of a shape. We would have destroyed them. The thing that may have happened is that may have caused the Russians to go nuclear
to launch it, yeah,
and launch off their submarines or something. And that was the main thing we were trying to avoid, was a nuclear confrontation between the the United States and Russia. And we were able to do that.
What was the pulse of the, or I guess the feeling, I should say, of your fellow service members that were there with you that were serving? What were they thinking? What were they saying? Was it just one big nervous wreck at that time?
Well, it wasn't a nervous wreck. It was a very, very, very serious, very organized, very dedicated in our rehearsals and our studies to make sure we knew everything that was available to know about our targets, about the people that were with us, the assets we had with us that were jumping in with us. And it was all professional. I mean, it was very, very professional. Things were a little different in those days. We had a small organization in Special Forces. And we were the best trained, best equipped, best armed, and best conditioned of any military group in the world, and probably still are. But we were serious about what we were doing. Had a lot of our people were old World War II veterans, and on my A team, I had 10 enlisted men, and of the 10 enlisted men, 6 of them were World War II veterans, and. I had a first lieutenant, West Pointer, as my XO, and he had been in the Army. At that time, you had to be a rank of first lieutenant with at least 3 years service in order to even apply for Special Forces. And he was a good man. We were serious about what we were doing. We just wanted to be sure that we spent. Unfortunately, I was only a mile and a half from my house, but my wife didn't know where I was. And that was one of the things that were tough on dependents, was they would take you into a confinement mode to start giving you area studies and intelligence, and that's where you stayed until you left on your mission. And they just, all they would do is tell my wife that I was in mission prep. That was all.
That was it.
She didn't know if I was getting on mission prep in Nicaragua or if on in Texas or Florida or Fort Bragg or where, but when it was all over, we just put our gear back on the shelves and went back to work.
So you had a feel. I mean, there was the feeling inside, because you got to always prepare for the worst in those situations.
Of course.
When the deal came and they decided to, the U.S. decided to pull their missiles out of, I don't know, it was Europe, Italy, and Turkey, and then the Soviets decided to pull the missiles out of Cuba. Big sigh of relief, I guess, right?
Oh, heaven yes. Worldwide, and you could feel it. The whole atmosphere of the life in the military at that time changed once that was solved, because we thought we were going to war. We really did. We thought we were going to really get a crack at something hard, big and tough.
Now, I guess fast forward to this day and age. And, the media tends to make mountains out of molehills, as you know. And you got the North Korea threat. You got the Iran threat. But for someone that was right there at the front of everything during the Cuban Missile Crisis, I'm thinking this, what's happening with North Korea, how would you compare? I mean, I'm assuming it doesn't compare, or does it compare? How does it compare to what we're facing now with North Korea and maybe Iran with the possible nuclear threat?
First off, we were confronting Russia on Cuban territory, and the Russians did not have the logistics or the tactical capabilities then that they have now. And that there's a little bit of similarity in North Korea. I think the problem with North Korea is that the North Koreans just don't know. anything other than what they have figured out themselves. And I do believe that our president is handling it exactly correctly, just the way it needs to be. He's facing up to them, and all the time that we're facing up to them, every day that nothing happens, we become more qualified and capable of addressing it. We have the opportunity to update and position our strike capabilities. We have the opportunity to pursue and gather information that can be analyzed and turned into intelligence. We have other countries that are just as concerned as we are. In the case of the Cuban crisis, we were acting alone. Now we've got Japan, we've got Korea, we got some of China, we've got Formosa, or Taiwan, and we've got the European countries basically agreeing with us that we have to do whatever we can to avoid a nuclear confrontation. We got Israel. Israel would go tomorrow if we turn them loose.
Yeah, I think sounds like they're ready, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They'd be doing a business on Isfahan and Tehran, and that'd make a big difference in Iran.
Yes, you know, speaking of Iran, President Trump's supposed to announce sometime that sources say that he will not recertify the Iran nuclear deal, which would trigger a congressional process to determine whether the U.S. should stay in the deal or seek changes. And your thoughts? How much do you know about this Iran deal? And what do you think is going to happen with
it? I know one thing. It was cooked up by Obama and Kerry. And Kerry, I think, just got overbeat, out-negotiated, out-pitched. There's a very close personal relationship between him and the Secretary of Defense guy in Iran. Kerry's daughter is married to this guy's son. And I think that influenced tremendously Kerry's attempts to get something done. And the fact that Obama loaded $1.4 billion in unmarked cash and flew it to Iran to get them to sign that agreement, which is all in favor of them, gives them almost complete liberty, because we have no authority to enter any of their facilities. It's a bum deal. Our president's got it exactly right. We got outfoxed and outdealt. And I think that based upon what some of our Secretary of Defense, for example, and some of them say, we should not decertify it. We should make the move to change it, to go ahead and stay in the deal, but try to see if we can change it to eliminate some of the problems that we have, and to allow us the opportunity to verify that they are sticking to their deal.
Yeah, the decision, they're saying that President Trump will not, again, recertify the Iran nuclear deal, which Trump is expected to make apparently every night. They're supposed to make that every 90 days. They're going to look at it every 90 days and reevaluate it. And my thing is, and I think a lot of Americans feel the same way, is that why in the world, when this first deal came out, was it 2015 or whatever, why would the U.S. in any circumstances, in any year of any decade, trust Iran in the first place to make the deal and to abide by what they say they would abide by?
You know, there's there's one old adage that is just as applicable to individuals as it is to countries. And my dad always stressed that to me, and he says, people who will lie to you will steal from you and will cheat you. Countries that will lie to you will cheat you. The lying is the basis for it. And the best thing to do is, you don't have time in your life to deal with people like that. Get the hell away from them. And I've tried to live that myself. I find it to be very, very good advice. And I've had occasions that one or two occasions where I've been got tangled up with people who were not honest, would lie, and I have finally shed myself of those.
Is there,
in our country, we shouldn't deal with people who are not going to be forthright.
Is there concerning, should we be concerned? I mean, we hear all the tough talk from North Korea, but Iran apparently threatened a crushing response to any kind of decision President Trump makes that would, I guess, damage the deal. I mean, they said there'll be a crushing response, Iran.
Well, what can that mean? You got to, you know, do they mean that they're going to embarrass us to the point the world will be ashamed, or does it mean that they're going to attack us? Again, we do have a lot better intelligence in Iran than we have in North Korea, primarily because of some of the other Arab countries, although Iran is not an Arab country. There's a definite identity difference between Iranians and Arabs. But we do have a lot of Iranian contacts and a lot of information that we get out of Iran. So we don't know exactly what their capability is, although they have claimed to have acquired some missile capability from North Korea that they didn't have before that would allow them to strike Israel. And I think that if Iran makes a move, their first move would be to strike Israel, because Israel has a nuclear capability to strike Iran. And when President Trump told the North Koreans that if they crank something off, our response would be to eliminate North Korea. And we could do that. We have that targeted extensively with nuclear weapons.
Could we do that, though, without damaging or hurting South Korea or Japan, you think?
Well, anytime you set off a nuclear device, you've got drift.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a cloud that is moved primarily by the wind.
Yeah.
And you can get exposed to a nuclear exposure just through the wind drift. And that could, since the prevailing winds in that area are from offshore across the Japan Sea, Japan could be at great risk. And so could South Korea some. Now, North Korea has, say, 15,000 artillery pieces all geared toward shelling South Korea. And when you talk about an artillery piece, you're talking about something that's going to be within a range of 5 to probably 25 miles. Then you have to, from that back, you have to go to rockets. And then you have to go to missiles as the range goes. If we could inundate North Korea with nuclear weapons, we could eliminate most of that threat very quickly. But there would certainly be a reaction, an action on the part of the North Korean artillery that's positioned and ready to fire, apparently. They would be, Seoul would be in a hell of a fix. Heck of a fix.
Yeah, so, and that's, I think, one of the biggest concerns with something like that is South Korea and Japan and even China to a certain extent. But we're going to take a quick break on Speak Your Piece. But if you'd like to join the conversation today with Buck Wilkerson, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speak Your Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Uncle Ray for Garvin Motors of Powell. You know, when you're thinking about a used car or truck, I'd like to help you remember the letter S, as in selection, lots of cars and trucks to test drive, or savings, prices for every budget. An S is in service before the sale to help you find just the right one, and after the sale with a service department second to none. Stop, shop, and save at Garvin Motors of Powell. Your chariot awaits.
Oil of oregano is an excellent supplement. This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and we have found it to be very beneficial for viral and bacterial infections. And you can use it to prevent them or help clear up the problem. Mother Nature has provided us with a powerful antibiotic in oregano. Stop in today and find out more. Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody.
Park County Youth Hockey presents Hocktoberfest.
Head to the Riley Arena Saturday, October 14th from 11 to 5 for this family-friendly fall festival.
There will be three-on-three hockey and broomball inside.
Booths and games for your amusement outside, and you can even win a pumpkin.
Hocktoberfest, October 14th at the Riley Arena.
This message brought to you by Bighorn Radio Network Cares and your locally owned Cody Ace Hardware. Ace, the helpful place.
When you need physical or occupational therapy, exercise your choice and choose Canyon Therapy. This is Allison Tipton, and our patient satisfaction is proof positive that we're a professional team of physical and occupational therapists with diverse experience. Our successful outcomes are just one reason why patients and doctors recommend our clinic. Let us help you get back to life. Canyon Therapy is conveniently located on Cody's West Strip. Call 587-9789. Relief, recovery, results.
This is Fire Marshal Sam Wild inviting you to join Park County Fire District 2 and the Cody Fire Department for an open house this Saturday from 10 to 2. Pick up fire safety information, enjoy refreshments and rides on the old double lot. Volunteer firefighters will be on hand to answer any questions about fire safety in your home. Also see rescue and vehicle extrication demonstrations. And there will be plenty of games for the kids. See you Saturday at the Cody Fire Hall. And remember, change the batteries in your smoke detectors when you change your clocks.
Friends, neighbors, customers. Maybe those sound different to you, but Bighorn Federal believes putting their local customers and local communities first brings us all closer together. And Bighorn Federal's local market knowledge, local board of directors, and local approval process quickly turns a customer into a friend. Local customers, local loans, and local deposits. That's doing business the Bighorn Federal way. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kohl's Home Sale is going on now. Stop in and pick up Cuddle Duds sheets for only $29.99. A 6-quart Instant Pot is just $99.99. A 6-quart New Wave Air Fryer is $129.99. And all Yankee Candles are 25% off. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more with promo code LEAF. You'll get Kohl's cash, too, right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid October 12th through 22nd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
What if hiring could be easier, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, their smart technology notifies the most qualified candidates to apply. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Buck Wilkerson. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Buck, I want to turn our conversation to something I know that I'm sure you have some pretty strong opinions about. In fact, I know you do because we talked before the show about this, but gun control, which is being talked about across our country now after the Las Vegas massacre going on, 2 weeks ago. And there's a lot of talk about bump stocks and background checks and so forth. And do you feel, I know you're definitely, absolutely Second Amendment. I think that's safe to say you're a pro-gun, but and I am as well. Do you think there's anything that can be done to prevent such things that happened, or not prevent it, because you're not going to prevent it. It's just not going to happen, but to help curb it a little bit, to help, I guess, lessen the chances of something like that happened, what happened in Las Vegas?
Yes, I do. And I think it goes all the way back to the early on curriculums in our schools. I think that they should teach the use of weapons, at least orient kids in school for it. And they should stress the fact that when you shoot somebody, it's for real. Our kids are so exposed to TV where everybody gets in a gunfight and they kill 10 or 15 people and act as if that's their routine. Look at Blue Bloods. All these guys, they get in these raids and they're shooting 8 or 10 people, and those things don't happen. And it, as if when you shoot, that's just a game. And a lot of our kids grow up thinking that the gun is just, they don't recognize the seriousness. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. And if you're not dead, you're usually hurt pretty bad.
So how do you think, if you did bring some kind of lesson like that to the schools, which would be very interesting, how the debate on that one, but if that was brought to the education system, how would that have an impact on, you think, maybe preventing, or again, preventing is a lack of a better word, something in Las Vegas?
Well, I go back to what I said. It's the nut behind the butt. It's not the gun that you have to worry about. And people, there are some people who just are mentally not capable of controlling their own actions. They are led by some who knows what to do these things. Now, this guy is a choice example. They can't find any motivation. They can't find what could have caused him to go up there and do all of the background checking and preparation for this activity, and then to fire into that crowd with the automatic weapons, well, the bump stock weapons he had, and at random with women and kids, and they have not been able to figure this out. This guy just had to be a mental case.
Yeah, you know, evil is something you're just not going to stop, regardless of how hard you try. I mean, you do the best you can. But let me ask you this: you mentioned mental illness, and we had a conversation a couple of days ago on Speak Your Peace regarding this. And this, in my opinion, something's got to be addressed regarding the mental health industry in our country in connection with gun control. I don't know exactly what that is, but I think everybody would agree that the mental health industry in our country is in a crisis mode. I mean, it's just a mess. And well, I don't know what that answer would be, but something's got to be looked at somehow.
You have a lot of politicians who are using this for to benefit themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Politically.
And when you stop and think about it, the people who have the guns and use the guns in evil, using your word, are going to get their guns no matter what.
That's right. That's why you can't ban guns. That's why it's so stupid to do that.
And I do believe that bump stocks are unnecessary, and you should have to register them. If you have one, they should know everybody that's got one, because all that does is allows you to go out. It should just allow you to take your M16 or M4 out with a bump stock and fire it automatically on a range or some other kind an established facility to get the thrill out of firing an automatic weapon. But I don't think that they should be available at random to anybody who wants to get one. I know that a lot of weapons, it doesn't take a lot of training and knowledge to convert a carbine or an M16 or an M4 or some of the other weapons to automatic. You learn a little bit about how to adjust the sears and the triggers and the mechanism, and you can do that. But I think that the law against having automatic weapons is a sound law. But most of our politicians, and I mean most of our congressional people, do not know the difference between a semi-automatic and an automatic weapon.
And they talk like they do, though.
But they don't.
That's you're right. You're exactly right.
They don't. They don't realize that a semi-automatic weapon, you have to pull the trigger every time to fire it. An automatic weapon, you pull the trigger once and it unloads the clip, as long as you hold the trigger down. And they don't understand, they don't comprehend the difference there. And so they come out and they say, let's outlaw magazines that hold over 10 clips. What kind of a ridiculous, stupid thing that is.
Now, why is that? Explain why that's what they want and why you think that's silly.
I think they wanted an issue, and that's all they got.
Okay.
That's all they got, because, you know, it isn't the 11th round that's her doing the damage. It's the first round.
That's they don't look at it that way.
No.
They look at it by a big number.
That's right.
You got 11, so that's a huge number, so we should just get rid of it.
And I am a firm believer, by the way, of the fact that the best protection against a nut with a gun that wants to do harm is to have someone who is not a nut with a gun that wants to prevent it.
Which speaks to concealed carry laws.
Absolutely.
And so forth.
Absolutely. I do think that the important issue is once they identify someone who has an emotional or mental problem.
After diagnosed by a doctor.
That's right. That says, hey, this guy doesn't have the necessary control of himself or should be able to use a weapon. Should treat him just like felons.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
As far as restricting their own ownership and possession of weapons. And, you know, that takes in a lot of people. It takes in a lot of ex-military people who have PTSD. We've had several occasions of them blowing their corks and unloading. The sniper guy, one of his friends killed him on the range when he was trying to help him. And I think that he could have been, if these people are diagnosed as being emotionally unstable or mentally unstable, and like separate emotion and meds and mentality, they should be restricted from owning weapons or having weapons. Because you never know when the cork's going to pop. And a lot of them do not have the emotional control to stop themselves when they get to the point where they're prepared to hurt somebody.
Now, some people will say, that are extreme right of that, will say, it shouldn't matter. I mean,
I know they'll say that.
And you're a former Green Beret, and you're about as pro gun as it gets. So I mean, but there are people out there, you know, Buck, that'll say that regardless of any kind of circumstance, we have the right to bear arms regardless of what our mental state is or anything.
I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, that we have to use some common sense.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the problems. A lot of people don't use any common sense when they're analyzing the situation or evaluating the situation.
Well, that's the truth about a lot of issues.
Amen.
Now, let me go back to your suggestion that you had possibly of doing this in schools. What exactly, and I know this is probably something you just came up with or maybe even thinking about this. What kind of, I guess, curriculum would you have for and what age would it be at the schools regarding guns?
Well, the biggest thing that I see is if kids come out of school, they don't understand guns. They don't know anything. They don't know what a gun is. They just say, we can't have a gun in our house because if you have a gun in the house, somebody's going to get shot.
Yeah.
And these are the same kids that come out of school thinking the milk comes from a factory. You know, they don't know that you got to really pull the tits on a cow to get the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that. They go through their whole life not understanding that guns can kill people and what getting shot really means. And again, this is so weakened by TV
and video games
and the video games.
Oh yeah.
To where people they don't have respect for violence and evil. They think it's part of the way things go. And you get these kids that commit suicide at 12 and 13 mm-hmm. and 14 years old. They've never learned about death.
Interesting. Yeah.
They don't know that they think that they're going to do that and they're going to be able to sit back and see how they got even with their friends and how they took it. And
it's final is what they don't realize.
They don't realize that that's the end of the day.
Yeah. That's interesting because, I mean, I've heard of some things along those lines as far as guns and education and so forth, but not quite to that extent. And at what age level or what age do you think a boy or girl would be able to understand and comprehend and be able to decipher a right from wrong in some kind of gun education?
My kids were shooting guns and handling guns when they were 6 years old and with me and my supervision. They became very excellent marksmen and hunters and very, very safety conscious about weapons, both my sons and my daughter. And I think that gun safety is something that should be taught in all of the schools. Doesn't take a lot of teaching. Doesn't take a lot of time, but it should be one of those things that you learn in school. Like, the weakest part of our educational system, in my mind, is the social end of it. The respect for the history of our country, the respect for law, the respect and recognition of weapons, the respect for the emblems of our country, the flag, the national anthem, the pledge. And one of my pet peeves is people always refer to the Pledge of Allegiance. I like everyone to give the Pledge of Allegiance some identity as our Pledge of Allegiance, or my Pledge of Allegiance, or your Pledge of Allegiance, not the Pledge of Allegiance. They say the Pledge of Allegiance like something that's out there that you can be aware of and use if you want to, but you don't have to. I like it to be tied to you personally, by using just calling it ours, yours, or theirs.
You know, I want to talk about that a little bit later, the national anthem protests and so forth. And I want to go back to guns real fast and just get your take on the law that was passed, it was signed by the governor, that allows school districts across the state to make a decision whether they want personnel in the schools to carry. Now, Cody School District is kind of, the school board's kind of tossing that around, hasn't made any decisions. They're going to bring the public input. What's your thoughts on that law?
My thoughts are that there should be, I'm 100% for it, but I think they have to be very careful who they select and authorize to do that. They should assure that they receive appropriate training, not only in how to use the weapon, but how to handle the obligation of being armed. And
it goes back to your point of being serious with the weapon, and whether or not, you know, a teacher has some kind of a past mental condition.
The
that
individuals
may
that are designated to do that should be very carefully screened, very carefully scrutinized, and very carefully selected. And they should be motivated themselves, and they should be experts with their weapon. And I think that that it would be very appropriate to not let everybody know who they are, because that way any individual doesn't know if it's going to be Miss Jones or if it's going to be Mr. Paul or whoever it might be, but there might be coming up against someone who's got a gun in their pocket.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people may feel this way, that gun-free zones in today's society, they absolutely are. And again, there was that study that I've talked about before that I think they were saying all but a couple mass shootings, like since the mid '50s, have happened in gun-free zones.
Absolutely, yeah. They designate a target because the shooter's not worried about it. Best thing you can do is go find a place where they have no guns.
Is there anything additional to the law that was signed by the governor that you think regarding guns in school that you wish or would like to see regarding that?
Only that there would be some verbiage and very defining conditions or terms, or conditions would be what it was, and actions required before an administrator, a teacher, a janitor, or who it might be, is designated as an armed person in the school.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Speak Your Peace. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Buck Wilkerson, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speak Your Peace right after these messages.
This is Brandon Douglas, real estate loan officer for First Bank of Wyoming. We're excited to offer competitive rates to those who are looking to purchase a new house or refinance their existing home. Stop in to see us in Powell or visit our other experienced lenders located in Cody and Lovell. We provide personal service that our customers have come to expect from their local bank. Your loan officer will be there every step of the way to answer questions and guide you through the lending process. Come in today and turn your dream of owning your own home into a reality. First Bank of Wyoming, where you are first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Monster Lake Ranch, breathtaking panoramic views of the mountains, fly fishing and bird hunting that is second to none, excellent cuisine in the Bliss restaurant, lodging for a perfect getaway. This is Chef DeWitt inviting you to join us for dinner. We serve Thursday through Saturday, and yes, you can dine in an upscale horse stall. Enjoy everything from steak and pork chops to my Louisiana favorites like shrimp and crawfish. Monster Lake Ranch, 10 minutes south of Cody. Call today, 587-5960.
Join us weekdays for 2 hours of local talk, news, weather, and sports here on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI. From 4 to 5 p.m., it's a rebroadcast of Wyoming's award-winning news talk program, Speak Your Piece, followed at 5 with an hour of in-depth news, weather, and sports with award-winning sports director Tim Anderson. It's the information you need to know. Weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m., only on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, your news authority.
Constantly tired, can't lose weight, experiencing hair loss, brain fog? You're not alone. I'm here today with Dr. Mark Shane, D.C., discussing the upcoming thyroid and weight loss seminar. Dr. Shane, why are you hosting this event?
It's simple. 26 million Americans are suffering with thyroid and autoimmune-related conditions, yet their blood work is normal. They're still experiencing weight gain despite diet and exercise, constant fatigue, thinning hair, memory problems, brain fog, and more.
So why are people suffering with these symptoms if their blood work is normal?
This is a massive epidemic, and the sad reality is thyroid and autoimmune conditions are often not diagnosed or mistreated. Many doctors are running tests that just don't measure true cellular inflammation.
Why is this important?
Because many times these are cellular inflammation problems, and we can now measure this.
To learn more, join Dr. Shane in his Cody office on Tuesday, October 17th. Register at FixThyroidNow.com or 587-5591. That's FixThyroidNow.com or 587-5591. The seminar is free, and they will offer a free toxins test at the event.
Kohl's Home Sale is going on now. Stop in and pick up Cuddle Duds sheets for only $29.99. A 6-quart Instant Pot is just $99.99. A 6-quart New Wave Air Fryer is $129.99. And all Yankee Candles are 25% off. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more with promo code LEAF. You'll get Kohl's cash too. Right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid October 12th through 22nd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
And had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
We are back on Speak Your Piece. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, today visiting with retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Buck Wilkerson. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Buck, I think there's another something else you want to say regarding the guns in schools to cap that.
Absolutely. I think that people need to realize that those guns will not be visible, they'll not be displayed, they'll not be exposed to the students, because that's part of the procedure they have to go through to make it effective. We don't want anyone to know who may have a gun. What we want to be sure of is that that individual that has it is properly trained, properly qualified, and properly aware of what he has to do to prevent this from being exposed to the students, and even to the other faculty.
You know, I think that's something I've said before, that I think one of the things that people that disagree with this think some of them really think that the gun's going to be out, the teacher's going to be walking around with the pistol in their in a holster, and it's going to be on the desk, and it's not going to be out of sight. And I think that's the whole part of this. It's going to be concealed.
That's exactly right. And again... It isn't the gun that's a problem. It's the nut behind the butt, the guy that's got the gun, that we have to address.
It's guns don't kill people, people kill people.
That's exactly right. And as long as a potential evildoer is looking at your school and saying, there's some people in there that are armed, I don't know who they are, he's going to stay away from there.
And that's the whole point of this.
And
this,
that will eliminate your school becoming a target.
And that's the whole goal of this whole thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to something you mentioned. You were talking about the our Pledge of Allegiance earlier, as you put it.
Yes.
I want to go back to just that and something related to that. Just get your thoughts, and I'm assuming what they are, but regarding the national anthem protests, NFL players kneeling, your thoughts of the whole protest. I know they have the right to do that, the First Amendment, but there's a big but there that you got to realize.
And those people, one thing I would say, anyone who is offended by what they do has the right, in many cases, of doing whatever they might choose to reward them for what they do. For example, if you're going to kneel, and you're not going to respect our flag and our national anthem, you're not going to play on my team.
Absolutely.
And
the NFL teams are a business.
If the NFL is going to approve that and do it, I'm not going to watch their shows. I'm not going to go to their games. I'm not going to buy their equipment.
Their jerseys their shirts,
and helmets
everything.
And shirts and glasses and stuff. I'm not going to do it. And I think it is an absolute disrespectful act, disrespecting our country and what our country stands for. You know, the flag kind of represents a lot more than they talk about people who have served and died and sacrificed for our country. The flag represents a hell of a lot more than that. It represents all of the sacrifice, personal sacrifice, financial sacrifice, emotional sacrifice, all of the discipline that our country's been through to get to where we are. It represents all of those things. It's the one thing we have in our country that should hold us all together, our flag and our national anthem. And my personal feelings are, I'm trying to keep this clean.
Please do. I think I know what you're going to say. You need to stand for the national anthem, or else.
According
to Buck Wilkerson.
Well, I say people who will disrespect our flag and our national anthem, disrespect our country. People who disrespect our country have no right to be in this country. If they don't like it, go someplace else.
Well, that's what I don't understand. I mean, you got NFL players that are making millions of dollars kneeling for the national anthem, saying just how bad our country is, but yet you guys see scores of people from around the world that want to come to America. How do you explain that?
I see a demonstration the other day down in California, and they had two guys carrying big Mexican flags leading it, running down the street.
Makes no sense.
I think that when that happens, they should grab them, take their flag away from them, handcuff them, march them down to Tijuana, and kick their butt through the gate. As to quote a guy on TV yesterday, they should say, "Don't let the door hit you in the."
You know what? On the way out, huh?
Where the good Lord don't let the door hit you. Where the good Lord split you.
Ah, okay, okay, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and that was what the hell is his name?
Let me ask you this, Buck. What about the veterans that you have? There's fellow veterans, people that have served just like honorably, just like you, that say that, you know, if an NFL player wants to kneel, that's fine. I fought for their rights. Their First Amendment rights, and they have the right to kneel. They can. What do you say to that?
I say that their kneeling is their right, which means they have the right to disrespect our flag. But if they disrespect our flag, they deserve no rights of our country.
There's consequences for their actions.
Absolutely, that's exactly what I think, and I see people, you know, at parades and things when the colors come by. I see them sitting there BSing or standing there BSing with their hats on. They don't uncover. They don't respect that flag. And that flag stands for a lot. You know, this flag is actually, epitomizes our whole country, our freedoms, our rights. They're all represented by that flag. And if you're going to disrespect the flag, you're disrespecting those rights and those freedoms.
I heard a story about somebody who was serving overseas and don't know the capacity or when it was, but they had been away from, you know, America for a long time. And, you know, when you're over there, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But what connected him finally to America, he heard the national anthem and brought him to tears when he heard the national anthem, because that was his first feeling of being back in America. After having served overseas or being serving overseas and being away from everybody, he heard the national anthem and brought him to tears. If that doesn't say what the national anthem means, I don't know what does.
I take great pride in respecting our flag and recognizing the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. They mean a lot to me, and when I see people who are disrespecting those things, to me, they're disrespecting everything about America, everything about our country. And I have less than any respect for them. It's the same feeling I have about people who lie to you. If they lie to you, they're down the tube.
What do you think that says about going back to the people that kneel, the athletes that kneel, and specifically the NFL players, about the educational system in our country? You kind of wonder that, did they learn anything along the lines? Because certainly they have something to be grateful for. Look how much money they're making playing a sport.
Yep.
I mean, did they not catch something? Were they taught something in
this
school?
This is another thing that is not taught in our schools like it used to be. A lot of the schools no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance in the mornings. A lot of the schools no longer have a flag displayed in every classroom.
That's true. I've been there and I've seen it.
That's right.
I don't see them anywhere. A lot of them.
When I went to school, in every classroom we had a big about a 2x3 American flag up on the front wall in the front of the classroom. We said the Pledge of Allegiance first thing every morning. A lot of people don't know you're supposed to. They don't know what to remove your hat and put your hand over your heart. They take their hat off, put their hat over their heart. Proper procedure, put your hat over your left shoulder, then your hands over your heart.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. This thing is something that really gets to the deepest, most innermost part of your soul and your body, should be your patriotism and your respect and honor for our country.
Sometimes I think the way President Trump handles himself, and he's so blunt with stuff and so forth, and how he talks about the pride of America and so forth. And for him to become president in this day and age, it's almost like pouring salt into an open wound. You have this country that's so divisive and so in a lot of aspects anti-Americans in some aspects, and then you have somebody like patriotic like President Trump. It's like pouring salt into an open wound. They can't stand it. They hurt at him being president.
Those are the swamp. The politicians that are worried about that, they're worried about their job and their position. Because it's been so easy before, and now he's making them come forth and either do what's right or I'd be identified for doing what's wrong.
Let's go to the phone line. Call, you have a quick question or comment. Your name, please.
Hey, good morning, Darren. It's Vince Fanata.
Hey, Vince. How are you?
Hey, you know, you're mentioning about this day in history. Something I just wanted to remind the listeners about is today is the anniversary of the attack on the USS Cole. And as they go through their day enjoying their freedom, think of those sailors who lost their lives. Think of those sailors who were injured and say a prayer for them and keep them in your thoughts and in your memories. And then pass it on and let folks know about that today is the anniversary, because all too often we forget about the sacrifices of our soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen, and Coast Guardsmen who put their lives out there on the line every day for us.
No, thanks for that reminder, Vince. Appreciate it.
All right. You have a great day.
And you too. We got about 30 seconds left. Buck, anything you want to say in closing about what we've talked about today? Any final comments? The gun issue, the national anthem?
Yes, I have one thing I should say.
Okay.
I know most of the people actually are respective and honoring to our flag, our national anthem, and our pledge. And everyone should be observant of who's around them. And when they see people who are not respecting them, tell them about it.
So point it out to them.
Damn right. Point it out to them and say, hey, take your hat off, stand up, put your hand over your heart, but mean these things. That, other than the fact of identifying our Pledge of Allegiance as being personal as opposed to generic, is very important to me.
Okay. Buck Wilkerson, hey, it's always fun. Thanks for coming today. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that will do it for Speak Your Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.